Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zerches Beah, Daf Lamed Ches, the fifth parak, Mashilin. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, Shmuel said, Shor Shel Patam, Hariu Karagli Ko Adam, the ox of a fattener, which Rashi explains is one who fattens cattle for sale, is accorded the tchum like that of the feet of the one who purchases it. Rashi explains that although the tchum of livestock is generally determined by the tchum of the owner at the onset of Yantav, this case is an exception to the rule. Since it's customary for these cattle to be sold, their owner intended at the beginning of Yantav for them to acquire the tchum of their eventual buyers, even if they are from a different city. Shorsha roa haru karagwe osa ir, and the ox of a shepherd is accorded a tchum like that of the feet of the residents of that city. Rashi explains that this refers to a shepherd who raises his own animals and occasionally sells some to neighbors and acquaintances. The animals accord the tchum of the local town, since the shepherd's sales are limited to its residents. Since his animals are not especially fattened, people have no reason to come from another town to buy them. Pointing to the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, "B'yontov karagli hamashu, if one borrowed a kli on yontov, it is accorded a tchum like that of the feet of the lender." The Gemara in Ardaf asks, "This is obvious, since at the onset of yontov, the kli was in the possession of the lender." And answers that this ruling is necessary in the case of deragav shel mineh, where there is someone in the habit of borrowing from him. You might have said that the lender assigned it to the possession and tchum of the borrower before yontov, since he anticipates its being borrowed on yontov. The Mishnah is therefore coming to inform us that this isn't so. The lender will say to himself that since his friend did not yet ask to borrow it, perhaps the borrower will find someone else and borrow from him. Therefore, the lender anticipated retaining possession of the kli, and it thus took on his tchum. And pointing with me, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, "V'kani isha sheshal mechaver tetavinu mayim melech lisasa hari eil karagli shtan." And so to a woman who borrowed from her friend on yontov condiments for cooking food or water and salt for her dough, these cooked foods or dough are accorded a tchum like that of the feet of both of them, meaning that they may carry them only within their common tchum area. When Rabbi Abba went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he davened, "Yirav de'ema milsa titiskabel, may it be the will of Hashem that I say something that will be accepted by the scholars there." When he arrived, he found them asking why the dough should be restricted to the tchum common to both of the women. Let the water and salt become batel to the major ingredient of the dough, so that only the tchum of the flour applies. Rabbi Abba said to them, "If a cup of one's wheat became mixed with 10 kubim of his friend's wheat, may the friend eat the entire mixture and rejoice that he gained a kub because it was batel? Obviously not. Bittel only works with isurim, but not with monetary matters. Similarly, the tchum of the water does not become nullified in the dough because the tchum is based on ownership." The Rabbanan laughed at him repeatedly, and the Gemara will explain why they rejected his position. The Mefarshim explained that his prayer was inappropriate. He should have davened that his argument receive a serious hearing so that the truth of the matter be established. He should not ask that his position necessarily be accepted. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Shmuel said, Shor shel patam hariu karagli ko adam. The ox of a fattener, which Rashi explains is one who fattens his cattle for sale, is accorded the tchum like that of the feet of the one who purchases it. Rashi explains that although the tchum of livestock is generally determined by the tchum of the owner at the onset of yontov, this case is an exception to the rule. Since it's customary for these cattle to be sold, their owner intended at the beginning of yontov for them to acquire the tchum of their eventual buyers, even if they are from a different city. Shor shel roa haru karagwe osa ir, and the ox of a shepherd is accorded tchum like that of the feet of the residents of that city. Rashi explains that this refers to a shepherd who raises his own animals and occasionally sells some to neighbors and acquaintances. The animals accord the tchum of the local town, since the shepherd's sales are limited to its residents. Since his animals are not especially fattened, people have no reason to come from another town to buy them. Pointing to the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, "B'yontov karagli hamashu, if one borrowed a kli on yontov, it's accorded a tchum like that of the feet of the lender." The Gemara in Ardaf asks that this is obvious, since at the onset of yontov, the kli was in the possession of the lender, and answers that this ruling is necessary in the case of the deragav shel mineh, where he is in the habit of borrowing from him. You might have said that the lender assigned it to the possession and tchum of the borrower before yontov, since he anticipates it being borrowed on yontov. This Mishnah is therefore coming to inform us that this isn't so. The lender will say to himself that since his friend did not yet ask to borrow it, perhaps the borrower will find someone else and borrow from him. Therefore, the lender anticipated retaining possession of the kli, and it thus took on his tchum. And pointing with me, the Mishnah stated, "V'keni isha sheshal mechaver tetavlin, umay mel chisasa hari el karagoy shten." And so to a woman who borrowed from her friend, on yontov, condiments for cooking food or water and salt for her dough, these cooked foods or dough are accorded the tchum like that of the feet of both of them, meaning that they may carry them only within their common tchum area. When Rabbi Abba went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he davened, "Yirav de'ema milsa di tiskabel. May it be the will of Hashem that I say something that will be accepted by the scholars there." When he arrived, he found them asking why the dough should be restricted to the tchum common to both of the women. Let the water and salt become bottled to the major ingredient of the dough, so that only the tchum of the flour applies. Rabbi Abba said to them, if a cup of one's wheat became mixed with 10 kabim of his friend's wheat, may the friend eat the entire mixture and rejoice that he gained a kav because it was batal? Obviously not. Bittal only works with isurim, but not with monetary matters. Similarly, the tchum of the water does not become nullified in the dough because the tchum is based on ownership. The Rabbanon laughed at him repeatedly, and the Gemara will explain why they rejected his position. The Mefarshim explained that his prayer was inappropriate. He should have davened that his argument receive a serious hearing so that the truth of the matter be established. He should not have asked that his position necessarily be accepted. All right, so now we go to our simmer daf lamed ches, and our standard simmon is related to a dabra lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup to make it more distinct. So chicken soup is our simmon. So here goes. The ox fattener who plumped up his oxen with fatty chicken soup watched the one he just sold go according to the tchum of the buyer, while his friend who borrowed his ladle was restricted to the owner's tchum, where a traveling rabbi happened to be davening that his rulings be accepted by his peers. So once again, in slow motion. The ox fattener who plumped up his oxen with fatty chicken soup, that must be more on daf lamed ches, a double lach. The ox fattener who plumped up his oxen with fatty chicken soup watched the one he just sold go according to the tchum of the buyer, which reminds us that a shor shel patam, the ox of one who fattens cattle for sale, is accorded the tchum like that of the feet of the one who purchases it. Since it's customary for these cattle to be sold, their owner intended at the beginning of Yantav for them to acquire the tchum of their eventual buyers, even if they're from a different city. Whereas a shor shel roa, the ox of a shepherd, is accorded tchum like that of the feet of the residents of the local town. Rashi explains that this refers to a shepherd who raises his own animals and occasionally sells some to neighbors and acquaintances. The animals accord the tchum of the local town, since the shepherd's sales are limited to its residents. Since his animals are not especially fattened, people have no reason to come from another town to buy them. So the ox fattener who plumped up his oxen with fatty chicken soup watched the one he just sold go according to the tchum of the buyer, while his friend who borrowed his ladle was restricted to the owner's tchum, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, "Biyom tov karagli amashu, if one borrowed a kli on yantiv, it's accorded a tchum like the feet of the lender." Even though this is obvious, since at the onset of Yantav, the Kli was in the possession of the lender, this ruling was necessary in the case where there is someone who's in the habit of borrowing from it. You might have said that the lender assigned it to the possession and tchum of the borrower before Yantav, since he anticipates it being borrowed in Yantav. But this isn't so. The lender will say to himself that since his friend did not yet ask to borrow it, perhaps the borrower will find someone else and borrow from him. Therefore, the lender anticipated retaining possession of the Kli, and it thus took on his tchum. So the ox fattener who plumped up his oxen with fatty chicken soup watched the one he just sold go according to the tchum of the buyer, while his friend who borrowed his ladle was restricted to the owner's tchum, where a traveling rabbi happened to be davening that his rulings be accepted by his peers. Which reminds us, when Rabbi Abba went up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he davened, Ye rabbi de ema milsa de tiskabel. May be the will of Hashem that I say something that will be accepted by the scholars there. When he arrived, he found them asking why, in a case when women boiled water and salt for dough, that the dough should be restricted to the tchum common to both of the women, let the water and salt become bottled to the major ingredient of the dough, so only the tchum of the flour applies. When Rabbi Abba gave an answer based on the fact that bittul only works in the case of Isurim, but not of Mammon, the Rabbanon laughed at him, and the Gemara explains why. The Mefarshim explained that his prayer was inappropriate. He should have davened that his argument receive a serious hearing so that the truth of the matter be established. He shouldn't have asked that his position necessarily be accepted. So once again, the ox fattener who plumped up his oxen with fatty chicken soup watched the one he just sold go according to the tchum of the buyer, while his friend who borrowed his ladle was restricted to the owner's tchum, where a traveling rabbi happened to be davening that his rulings be accepted by his peers. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara.
Daf lamed dalet. So the simmer daf lamed dalet is a ladder. So here goes. The trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder. Ladder? That must mean we're on daf lamed dalet. The trod-on little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantav, which reminds Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zerah, what is halacha with regard to shechting a trod-on bird on Yantav after it lived 24 hours? Mimas chinim ru'usa b'yomtav or lo? Do we assume that a problem exists at a concern of violating Yantav or not? Rashi explains that since shechting a treifa animal is asim b'derais in Yantav, and in this case there is a greater chance the bird is a treifa, do we prohibit the shechita? Rabbi Zerah attempted to answer the question based on our mission that prohibits heating new towels to roast on them because they might crack. Similarly, shechita should be prohibited because the bird could be a treifa. Rabbi Yirmiyah rejected his proof, saying that heating the new towels in Yantav friendship is prohibited because it's necessary to harden them. So the trod on a little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantiv by the man who climbed up to his roof every Shabbos during Shviz to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating, which reminds us in the next mission, Rebbe Lezer said, Omen Adam al Muksa every Shabbos for Shviz, a person may stand next to foodstuffs that are Muksa on Friday during the Shviz year and declare, Mikan ani ochel amarcha, from here, I'll eat tomorrow. The term Muksa refers to figs and grapes that were set in the sun to dry. Rebbe Lezer only requires an oral designation to remove the Muksa status, and one does not have to decide specifically which produce will be eaten since he relies on the principle of Breira. The Chachamim disagree and say that he must mark off the portion to eat and declare, Mikan ve'adkan, I'll eat tomorrow from here to here. Rashi explains that the Chachamim reject the principle of Breira. So the trod on a little bird fluttering at the bottom of the ladder was going to be shechted on Yantiv by the man who climbed up to his roof Erev Shabbos during Shviz to designate some drying grapes on the roof for eating, who had a teaching in his hand that Shabbos is Kovei LeMaisrus, whether there is Gemar Malacha or not. Which reminds us, Rava asked Rav Nachman, Shabbos Mahu Shetik V'Muksa LeMaisr. Does Shabbos establish an obligation for Muksa produce, which is produce that has not been completely processed, to be tithed? Do we say that since the Pasuk states, V'Karasu Shabbos Oneg, you shall proclaim the Shabbos a pleasure, Kavav V'Afio Shalod Nigmar Malachta, the Shabbos establishes an obligation even for produce that has not had its Gemar Malacha or not? Rav Nachman answered, Limud Aruch Hu B'Yadenu Shabbos Kavas. It is a fully developed teaching in our hands that the Shabbos establishes a chiyuv to take maisers whether the processing was completed or not. The Gemara will challenge Rav Nachman's position. Daf Lamed Hey. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Hey is the children's choir singing La La La. So here goes. The children's choir, that must be on Daf Lamed Hey. La La La. The children's choir who are singing their Kovei LeMaisrus only after a Gemar Malacha song, which reminds us, the Gemara presents a statement which contradicts the ruling of Rav Nachman that Shabbos is Kovei LeMaisrus for even produce that has not been completely processed. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Shabbos, Echad Trumva, Echad Chatzar, Echad Mekach. Whether it's Shabbos or Trumva or Chatzar or purchase, Kulan and Kovin El Bedvar Shenigmar Malachtan, all of them establish a Chiyuv for Maisrus only for something whose processing has been completed. The Gemara demonstrates that each of the four rulings are subject to a dispute, necessitating Rabbi Yochanan to rule in each case. So the children's choir were singing their Kovei LeMaisrus only after Gemar Malacha song, as they helped lower wheat and barley through a skylight on Yantiv because of pending rain. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the fifth parak states, Mashilin Peres Derech Harub B'Yantiv Avelo B'Shabbos. We may lower produce through a skylight on Yantiv, but not on Shabbos. Rashi explains that if one had spread out wheat and barley on his roof to dry and fears that oncoming rains will ruin them, he may throw them through a skylight in Yantiv into the house, since it's not considered tircha yaser, excessive exertion. However, one cannot lift produce to pass it through a window, since this does involve tircha yaser. So the children's choir who is singing their Kovei LeMaisrus only after Gemar Malacha song, as they helped lower wheat and barley through a skylight on Yantiv because of pending rain, were told to lower no more than 3 boxes because there was no Bittul Beis HaMidrash. Which reminds the Gemara, how much produce may be lowered through the skylight? And the answer is given that it's the amount equivalent to what we learned in the Mishnah and Shabbos. Mefanim arba v'chamesh kupo shel tev v'shel tefua b'nei orchin u'fnei Bittul Beis HaMidrash. We may clear away 4 or 5 boxes of straw produce because of guests or because of limiting seating in the Beis HaMidrash. Our Mishnah 2 would allow moving 4 or 5 boxes. The Gemara gives 3 reasons why this amount would not necessarily apply to our Mishnah. Daf Lamed Vav. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The one who brought a sheet with lulav designs, that must be more in Daf Lamed Vav, lulav. The woman who brought a sheet with lulav designs on it to cover bricks from dripping water, on Yantiv, which reminds the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hei Amabe stated, Mechasim Peros, we may cover the produce to protect it from dripping water. On our Daf, lulav said, Vafil Avir Delivne, even rows of bricks may be covered. We don't say that since the bricks are muksa and may not be moved, a cloth may not be moved for their benefit. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Peros Haruin, only produce which is suitable for Yantiv use can be covered. And Rabbi Yitzchak follows his reason to express elsewhere that, Ein Kli Nito El Ladavar HaNito B'Shabbos, a Kli may not be moved except for the need of an item which itself may be moved on Shabbos. So the woman who brought a sheet with lulav designs on it to cover bricks from dripping water on Yantiv, and noticed men carrying a grav shel rei and a dead mouse out of the house, which reminds us, Shmuel said, grav shel rei va'avit shel mei meraglayim mutu hotzim la'ashpa, a vessel for excrement or for urine may be removed to the trash heap on Shabbos, u'kshemachziro nosim bo mayim u'machziro, and when he returns it, he should put water into it and then return it to the house. The Gemara explains that originally it was understood from the statement that something repulsive may be removed only together with a kli, which contains it, however, it may not be removed by itself, but this is not so. For there was a mouse which was found among the spices of Ravashi, and Ravashi said, nakta betusisava afkua grab it by its tail and remove it. We see that something which is repulsive may even be handled directly. So the woman who brought a sheet with loof designs on it to cover bricks from dripping water, Anyantiv, and noticed men carrying a grub shell ray and a dead mouse out of the house, were horrified when they were told they were not permitted to climb a tree or flee on a horse. Which reminds us that activities prohibited because of Shavuos, a rabbinical injunction on Shabbos, are also forbidden on Yontif. One may not ascend a tree, one may not ride upon an animal, one may not swim in water, and one may not clap hands, slap thighs, or dance. And the reasons are given behind each of these bans. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the Simur Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The new Yontif-themed laser tag park, laser tag. That must mean one Daf Lamed Zayin. The new Yontif-themed laser tag park, which prohibited consecrating laser guns because of their similarity to commerce, which reminds us, on Yontif, l'magdishim, l'marichim, l'machrimin, we may not consecrate nor make assessment vows nor make a cherem, which is pronouncing an object that one owns as set aside for priestly or temple use, because of a gezer mishum mekoch memkar, a precautionary decree because of their similarity to commerce, since the ownership of an object is transferred to the temple treasury. So the new Yontif-themed laser tag park, which prohibited consecrating laser guns because of their similarity to commerce, required participants to shoot at livestock that always followed the feet of a single shepherd, which reminds us, the question of whether livestock are accorded the tchum like the owner or to the shepherd depends on whether there is one or more shepherds. A Bryce's case that stated it goes to the shepherds, even though it wasn't handed over to the shepherd, until Yontif refers to a town with one shepherd, so that it was clear that the animal would be entrusted to him. It therefore assumes its tchum. Whereas the Mishnah that states it's accorded the tchum of the owner refers to a town with two shepherds, so that it was not clear before Yontif who the animal would be entrusted to. So the new Yontif-themed laser tag park, which prohibited consecrating laser guns because of their similarity to commerce, required participants to shoot at livestock that always followed the feet of a single shepherd, and awarded bonus points for hitting the partnership animal, which drew sustenance from two separate chumim. Which reminds us, it was said, Shnaim shalachu chavis behem b'shutfas, if two people purchased a barrel of wine or an animal for slaughter in partnership with Yontif, and divided the wine and meat on Yontif, Rav said, chavis muteres behema asura, the wine in this barrel is permitted, meaning it may be carried by each of his partners throughout his tchum area, while the meat of the animal is prohibited except within their common tchum area. But Shmuel said, chavis nami asura, the wine in the barrel is also prohibited except within the common tchum area. Rashi explains that Shmuel does not accept the principle of brera. Rav does hold a brera, except that an animal is different since it was alive at the onset of Yontif, and the two shares, which have different tchum boundaries, draw sustenance from each other. Thus, each share contains nutrients drawn from the other share, making it subject to the other tchum boundary as well. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.